Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. Today we'll start by talking about a Linux distribution called VanillaOS. You probably heard about it if you've been following the channel for a while. It is one of these recent immutable and atomic distros that has a read-only file system and that lets you install software in containers, various distros that you can install in various containers, and so you can install any package made for any distro and run various development environments and do everything you want from these containers. I looked at the first iteration of this distro a while back on the channel. I found it was an interesting concept, if not something that really had any practical use for myself. But version 2 is out and it changes a lot of stuff. First, it moves from Ubuntu as its base to a snapshot of Debian SID, which will get updated as time goes on. It moves to GNOME 46, so the latest version for now, and it moves to the Linux kernel 6.9. It will also have a new smart updates feature that will only update your computer in the background when your device is idle. So while you're actually using the computer to watch a video, write some code, or I don't know, like do some video conferencing, no update will ever be downloaded or applied in the background. But once you leave your computer unattended for some time, it will start updating itself. It doesn't seem like it's going to reboot, but not sure. You can, of course, disable that behavior if you don't want it. VanillaOS also gained a GUI, a graphical user interface, for the NVIDIA Prime utility. I'm pretty sure this Prime utility also works with AMD dedicated GPUs. It lets you graphically switch between discrete GPUs, the integrated GPU, and the on-demand mode of hybrid laptops, for example. VanillaOS 2 also adds support for Android apps through WayDroid. You can install any Android app by double-clicking an APK file. But obviously they tell you that you shouldn't do that because it's really not secure. But yeah, they've isolated the Android environment from the rest of the system, but still, you're still running like an unverified third-party APK package, so not the best thing to do if you want to keep a secure system. VanillaOS also gains a new graphical package manager to install any software in any of the distro containers that you've set up. They've also turned encryption on by default. They will let you build your own images of VanillaOS with your own customizations, drivers, libraries, and more. And VanillaOS also now has a rollback feature to revert to a usable system. And all these previous system versions are checked at every boot to make sure that system integrity is still there, that the system hasn't been tampered with, and that you have a secure system that you can fall back to. And they also added a way to automate some tasks by running specific instructions depending on various conditions that are either pre-configured or that you can set in your own scripts or with a specific command. So you can say, for example, I want to do this task when I insert this USB key, or I want to, like, I don't know, at startup, automatically run this script, and that script, or every time I close GIMP, grab the file named this and paste it somewhere else. This is going to be an interesting thing, and I can't lie, it looks like they've thought of everything to make the concept of run any distro in a container inside of a secure base work well. I'm not sure it's something I will ever really need for my use case, but it does look like a very interesting distro with a solid toolset. So I asked on the community page of the YouTube channel if people wanted to see a video of VanillaOS 2. If so, I will make it this week. Wine 9.4 was also released on Sunday. This one changed how mail slots are implemented in Wine. Mail slots are an inter-process communication system for Windows. I think it's sort of like Dbus that we have on Linux, but for Windows. It lets various processes send information between each other in a sort of secure way. The Wine developers re-implemented it using server-side I/O operations, which should make these communications a bit more reliable and technically a bit more secure as well. Support for the ODBC drivers are also improved, so apps that rely on connecting to databases should work better. And finally, memory management is improved just as well. There were 20 bugs fixed, this time including for Civilization 1, Splinter Cell Conviction, Is Origin, and more. And it's nice to see Wine getting better, not just for games, but for regular applications as well. We've seen a lot of gaming-focused changes in Wine, but seeing their work on the command.exe stuff, on mail slots, on these database drivers, There's a renewed focus on running actual programs instead of games, and I think that's good because that's what a lot of people actually would like to do. And there's another nail in X11's unusually nailed field coffin. The Mesa drivers are preparing to sideline X11 support, just like a lot of other projects are doing. Not remove X11 support, mind you, but at least they will let maintainers compile the Mesa drivers without depending on X11 dependencies. That's something that they are moving towards by adding a new legacy-X11 build option in the build system that Mesa uses. It's called Meson. And this will progressively let developers move all X11 support to one side of the codebase, including the DRI2 protocol, which is being slowly removed from GLX, EGL, and other various frontends provided by Mesa. Now, again, this does not mean that Mesa will drop support for X11 anytime soon, but it means that these older dependencies and older code paths are being moved behind a build option, so it will be easier in the future to get rid of them for distributions that don't want that. It is still a clear indication that X11 isn't going to be around forever. At some point, X11 drivers will just not see any more work done. At some point, a lot of distros will stop compiling their own packages for Mesa drivers with X11 support, but that's not going to happen right there and then. It will be on distro maintainers to decide whether they want to keep packaging X11 support in the Mesa drivers or not. And I'm sure most distros will keep doing so for a while. Some distros will even likely keep like backporting or forward porting the X11 support to newer versions of Mesa to keep X11 alive for longer, even after the Mesa developers decided to drop that code. Pretty sure some people will keep trying to support that, maybe add newer drivers on top of an older Mesa version that still supports X11. There's probably going to be some work around this at some point, but yes, it is an indication that X11 will not be around forever on every single distro. It will be a Wayland-only future for a lot of people. Okay, so this will conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!